All right. An interesting idea from Pankaj Yitzhaker Futner. Futner was a very interesting, I guess you would put him in the more Haredi yeshivish camp, but he produced these books of, I don't know if you call it Jewish philosophy or discourses in the Agadata. It's hard to actually categorize, I think, the type of writing that he produced here, which are sometimes short, sometimes very long, essays, paragraphs, ideas, where he pulls together a lot of different interesting connections, and he does it according to the holidays and according to Shabbat, and it's very interesting. These were, I was told, I think, that he gave these over in the yeshiva as like a musar speech, as like, you know, the sheer klali, where you get everybody together and he would tell them some idea he had, pulling together a lot of different sources. And it's often very interesting. It's also a little inaccessible, meaning that it's not written down in a way that, like, you have footnotes at the bottom that you can tell that he's quoting something. Sometimes just ideas, like flow into different ideas and quotes and references are all different. Like, it's interesting stuff. When did he pass away? Like sometime in the, I think it was in the 80s, maybe. What he considered his Rebbe, he died in exactly 1980. Wow. November 28th, 1980. He actually went to the, he grew up, I think he was born in Warsaw, and he went to yeshiva in Slobodka. He went to Israel and studied in the Chevron yeshiva, and there he met Rav Kook. So that's my connection a little bit. He met Rav Kook, and Rav Kook became a very important figure to him. He studied under Rav Kook, knew him, and they say that later in life he like took Rav Kook's picture off of his wall. Like, he moved away from the philosophy of Rav Kook, but it's not hard to find in Pachad Yitzchak echoes of ideas that you might find in Rav Kook. Okay, so short idea on Perm. He has a book, Pachad Yitzchak. It's fairly short. There's some pretty interesting ideas. A lot of times it has to do with the methodology of interpretation and very interesting stuff. So we're going to actually see an example of that. This is Inyan Hey, the fifth essay. Here we go. Kol Sefer Tanakh Atidim Lehibatel Chutz Mimegilat Esther. Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchot Megillah, he says that all the books of Tanakh are going to be, maybe not Tanakh, not the Torah, but the Nach. Every book is going to be erased. We're going to do away with all of those books. This is the Rambam saying it. Except for Esther. It's going to be the five books of Moses, right? The Pentateuch and Esther. Those are going to be the only ones that are left when Mashiach comes. Or it does, at least Atidin, like in the future. Which is interesting, you know, because Purim is a very Torah Shabbat Peh holiday. It's written in Nach, but it has a lot of, you know, things that are Derabanan to it. But they're very important derabanans, you know, Kriyat Megillah and things like that. So the Rambam says that is going to remain. That Torah Shabbat Peh, kind of, the form of the holiday is the rabbis deciding that we have to institute a day of celebration, and the Torah Shebichtav, which is the Torah. So he says, Perusham Shel Dvarim, explanation of what the Rambam means, Halalu, Hu Kedil Halan. I'll explain it in the following way. All right, here we go. Let's go on a journey onto something completely different. And through that, we'll circle back and understand why Esther would be, Megillat Esther would be the one that would stay out of all of Anach. Here we go. He says, Bishat kinyano shel Yaakov et Bechorah. When Yaakov bought the Bechor rights from Esav, miyado shel Esav, Hari hu omer, what did he say? He said the words, Machra kiyom et Bechorat chali. Sell like today, Kiyom, which I think we even talked about in Shadal, he says to Esav, when you want this lentil soup? Okay, sell for me right now, Kiyom, it's a little weird, this phrase, your Bechor. Okay, for Rabim Hema Pirushim, I'll say about Kiyom, many explanations are given for what Kiyom means, like today, Ki Kipshuto, Bipshuto, Ain Shem Kishur, L'teva Zo, B'mishpat Zeh. You know, according to the pshat, there's no point. Like, why would you say sell today? Even like the even besides for the word ke or the prefix ke, like today, why do you even have to say today at all? You could have said nothing. You could have said sell your birthright to me, and we would know that that's occurring right now in trade for the soup. So he says, we're going to explain this word according to the way that we feel about this word in the Su'udat Purim. I'm not quite sure. He says right now that maybe he said this at a Purim Su'udah, and he says, I'm going to explain this according to the way we feel right now. I guess we'll see what he means by that. Okay. Hine Yaakov Amar LeEsav. So much later, right? This is Yaakov and Esav earlier on in their lives. Then Yaakov later on is scared of Esav. He's finally running away from Lavan. He has his wives and his children. And Esav meets him on the road. And it actually ends up being a fairly pleasant conversation. Unless you read it like, I think we explained it way back when, of a very tense, filled, and like the first scene in Inglourious Basterds type of scene between Yaakov and Esav. If you read it in that light, it actually does come out that way. But let's assume it's a fairly, innocuous exchange where at the end of it, Esav says, oh, why don't I travel with you? And Yaakov was like, no, you don't want to travel with me. I'm going to go so slow. I have my wife and my children. I have all these animals. You don't want to go. I'm going to be so slow. And Esau's like, no, I'll go with you. You know. And Yaakov's like, how about this? You start off, and I'll follow you slowly, and eventually I'll get there. The words that he says is, Adavo el Adoni Seira, until I will reach my master in Seir, where you live, right? So he says, I'll meet you up there. So Dvar shel Elu shel Yaakov, sorry, Dvarav Ela shel Yaakov lo nitkaima ma'olam. The problem is, Yaakov never actually fulfills what he says he's going to do. He promises Esav he's going to meet up with him eventually. It was to get him off his back. He lied maybe for the sake of peace, but it never was fulfilled. It's a lie. We don't like that. Okay? He could have. It's we don't know if this was for peace. It's not explicit like that. Upirshu chachamim. So our rabbis Chazal. I've understood what Yaakov was saying here, that I will meet you in Seir. It cannot be that Yaakov would even say, the man of truth, right? Titain emet li Yaakov. It cannot be that he would say something that doesn't come to fruition. Hari adarabba dvarim halalu mitparashim besod achrit hayamim. So Chazal say that you should rather understand what Yaakov is saying in reference to messianic times. It doesn't seem that way in the pasuk he seems to be talking about right now, but since we know that Yaakov would never lie, so if we try to make sure that he's not lying, so this is referring specifically to messianic times. I will meet you in Seir. What does that mean? Asher az yavo Yaakov l'Seir. The Jewish people will eventually go to Seir. It's more symbolic now. Ki amor va'alu moshiim l'shpot et harisav. Right, the Savior will come to judge the mountain of Esav. Right, Alu Moshiim l'shpot et har Esav. That's in reference to Yaakov going to Seir and doing the punishments that are necessary, or perhaps talking to them and creating peace. I don't know, but that's how they understand it. His word, I'm going to go to Seir, is in reference to the future. And not in reference to right now. Nimsa sha'afa pisha Yaakov amar li Esav aval adonisa ira bistama. Even though it sounds like Yaakov meant that in like right now, he just says it without reference to the future. Mikol makom mitparshim him adaita de achrit hayamim. Nevertheless, Chazal were willing to take that sentence, take that description, and push it to the future. That he had in mind for the future, perhaps we would say as well. Mimnekein. So therefore, we can now plug this into when he buys the Bechorites. When he said Kiyom. Oh, let's plug this in. What he meant was, Yaakov said, that it should happen today, is because if Yaakov is known for speaking about messianic times, then we have a problem. Why? Because if Yaakov is speaking about messianic times, right? Then Esav can turn around and say, oh, when I sold you that Bechor rights, that wasn't for now. That was for Messianic times. I'll give you the Bechor rights then. Until then, I get to keep it. Right? Let's read that inside. Right? Mibnei shebli hadgasha zo, without emphasizing this. We're almost done. Mibnei shebli hadgasha zo haya Esav yacholiton. Without this emphasis, Esav would have been able to claim, I'm not macharti lecha et habechora. I am indeed selling you the bechor rights. Aval kemo sheata maftiach li achshav, but only insofar as the same way in which you're promising me now that you'll come later, meaning in the future, in Messianic times, so too I, v'hakim hu la'atid lavo, and that's only going to be fulfilled later in Messianic times, kamo kein, mechirat ha'bechora sheli titkayen la'achir te'yamim. Then he apparently later, during the time where he met up with Yaakov, was saying, well, maybe my bechor right that I sold you is only going to be true for the future. And he goes on a little bit here. He says, ah, what does that mean? That means that sometimes when a person is speaking, okay, the words that a person speaks is actually should be explained according to their very root. Yaakov was thinking about the future. Yaakov's root was in the future, meaning the Jewish people are successful in the future. They are the light unto the nations that will eventually come to fruition in Messianic times. We will see how everything fits together. And therefore, when we look at Yaakov and we look at even the things, the small things that he says, the simple things that he says, that is for the future. Even because we should explain the words of a person according to their personality, according to what they are. But Esav is a person who only thinks about the present. And therefore, Ashani Esav, Shechalkohu, Ha'omazeh, Ve'in lo chelek, Ba'otam achar de'yamim. Esav doesn't have a chelek in the Messianic times. And therefore, when he speaks, he's always speaking about today, and V'lo ba'aspeklaria shel ha'machar. Therefore, it's not about the next day. He goes on, he talks about how Amalek, if you look at the parsha of Amalek, there's an emphasis on say v'hilachem ba'amalek machar. Go and, what does Moshe say to Yahushua? Go and fight the war tomorrow. Why fight the war tomorrow? Because the word tomorrow can actually take on two different meanings. It could be fight them literally the day after today, or it could be tomorrow, meaning in the future, in the Messianic times. Not only that, but in the pasuk itself, it's one of the pasukim that's called, that doesn't have hachra. It doesn't, you don't know which part of the pasuk machar is going on, because it says, go and fight Amalek machar, and then it says, I will stand on the pinnacle of the mountain. I will stand on the Rosh HaGiv'ah. Right? I'm going to stand there. So, machar could also refer to, instead of go fight Amalek tomorrow, it could mean, tomorrow I'm going, go fight Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to go on the mountain. It could go on both clauses of the sentence. So, Rav Huttner says, what do you see here? You see that not only in the sentence itself does it have a double meaning of tomorrow and also of tomorrow, like all the way down in the Messianic times, so too, every time we see that word, machar, which we see also in the Esther story, and he says the Maharal picks up on this, where Haman, for example, says, lemachar nikarola im hamelch, that he was so happy that he was invited to the party that Esther was throwing. He said, and tomorrow she's going to re-invite me. Tomorrow she's going to invite me to the king. So that what that means is that he's thinking about Messianic times. He doesn't even realize it. He's thinking about Messianic times. Okay, we're skipping a little bit. Very interesting, this idea of the double meaning, that a person can say something and it can really be referring to really all the way down the line. And that's the truth about Amalek, is Amalek exists in today. You know, this is the world of Amalek, says Rav Huttner. We are the ones who are going to be fighting them in the future. We are the people of the future. And so this is the end over here. He says, V'chola ozen bochenet, every ear can discern. Makshivahi et hadgasha hazo boket, v'ole mitoch bakashata shel Esther. Now we can understand what Esther says. What? What does she say? She says, I need another day for Shushan. I need another day to fight the wars of Shushan. Ki b'shav she'biksha Esther al ha'safet yom shal mechiyat Amalek b'Shushan et yir. She asks for one more day so they can defeat the Amalekites in the city of Shushan, which is why we have Shushan Purim. Lo b'ksha lo she'ya gam achar kedat hayom. What she was saying is that tomorrow should be like today. Tomorrow, like today, where we're fighting people and we're allowed to fight our enemies, tomorrow we should also be allowed to fight our enemies. So what does that mean? B'tchume ha'yom hazeh. Grida, when you only have today, you can't actually fight Amalek fully. Because if you're only focusing on today and not on the future, then Amalek is able to win because they are the rulers of the day. The only way that the Jew is going to be able to defeat Amalek, the only way that we, our people, are going to defeat Amalek is if we are forward thinkers, if we are thinking about the future. What we have to do is focus on the machar, on the tomorrow. Now let's return to the original question. The original question was, what does the Rambam mean when he says that Esther, Megillat Esther, is the only thing that's going to remain of Nach, Latid Lavo? Oh, now we can understand. The entire Megillah is focused on, it's an entire, he doesn't put it in these words, but we could say that the entire story is a mashal of what's going to happen in the future. That we're not going to even realize that we're in the Yemot HaMashiach until it happens, right? The entire Megillah is a story of the Jewish people winning over their enemies and defeating Amalek. That is a forward-thinking text. It is machar kedat hayom. It sounds like it's happening today, but it has the dual meaning of also referring to tomorrow. Memela mufkat hi ma'alach habitul shel shar kitvei hakodesh. That's why it's an exception to the rule. It's not going to be canceled out because it is the future. In the future, it will be the future. Memnei shebitul zeh hu kakav ha'mavdil bein hayom ubein lemachar. Because why? This bittul of the Nach, of the rest of Nach, is because that's only referring to a time that's no longer relevant. But Esther is going to be relevant. Megillat Esther Mufkat Hi Mi'Abdallah Zo. It doesn't have that distinction of Hayom versus Machar. It is both. It is Hayom and Machar. Shekein Ba Sholet Hu Hamalach Shal Machar Kedat Hayom. We want to have tomorrow like we have today, meaning we are going to fight Amalek and be forward thinkers, just like the dual meaning of Machar as referring to, you know, in today's day versus in addition to tomorrow. That is the idea of Megillat Esther that will be in existence, La'atid Lavo, with our fight against Amalek. Shkoyach.